You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. We usually start our Mondays with the political junkie Ken Rudin. Today, he's the finale, joining us from Washington, D.C. He's tracking national political news. We were all on the heels of the election when the wildfires hit here in California. And for so many people, the level of exhaustion just moving through the election cycle into the fires was intense. Of course, so for the political junkie Ken Rudin.
Hi, Beth. I'm here.
Okay, so I know you heard what we've been talking about this hour. Let's start there and what you might want to add to the wildfire conversation.
Well, I was touched. I mean, there are a lot of things, and there's so much to say, but a little limited time, I understand that. I was very moved by your interview with Mayor Jones, and I think when she said something that this is not a political situation, this is a disaster situation, and I think that's, I hope everybody remembers that we could always talk about whether Trump is the empathizer in chief and whether he can point fingers and whether he can talk about withholding money. But I was very encouraged, and again, this could disappear in a flash, but I was very encouraged by the cooperation, the cooperation they talked about among Trump and Jerry Brown and Gavin Newsom. I thought that was very encouraging. I thought it was very interesting also that Ben Adler said that Governor Brown and Donald Trump, even though they've been at each other's throats for the past 2 years, they met only once when Brown was mayor of Oakland.
Right.
I thought that was pretty interesting as well.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about election results, because Southern California is sending some Democrats to Washington.
Not only that, look, first of all, there are only 7 out of the 53 House seats in California will now be Republican. We talked about whether this was a blue wave or not. It was definitely a blue wave in Southern California. In Orange County, which used to be the bastion of conservatism, you know, well before Donald Trump, well before Ronald Reagan. I mean, there was James Utt, you know, for those who remember back in the day. But there was Utt, there was the Birch Society, there was Bob Dornan, there was John Russolo. There were so many conservatives. Now the Democrats took every House seat in Orange County, and 6 of them were highly contested. It's the first time since the 1930s that the Orange County congressional delegation will be all Democratic. Mimi Walters lost in the 45th. Right. That was decided on Friday. And on Saturday, Gil Cisneros beat Young Kim for Ed Royce's seat in the 39th district. So it was a great night. I mean, we talked about whether it would happen or not. We didn't see it happening election night. But as more and more votes were counted, it was clearly a blue wave for the Democrats in California.
We have to talk about Nancy Pelosi. And even though the vote on her Speaker of the House leadership role won't come until January, there is an outspoken tally right now against her.
Well, there has been for a while. First of all, you remember there were 2 votes coming up. There's going to be a vote for her within the Democratic caucus, which will come in a week or two. And basically, she will win that, no question. All you need is a plurality. But then when the 2 nominees, the Republican nominee, Kevin McCarthy, and the Democratic nominee for Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, go before the full House on January 3rd, if Pelosi loses 19 votes, I mean, right now the Democrats picked up like 38 seats for a nice majority in the House. But if Nancy Pelosi loses 19 of her fellow Democrats, her bid to be speaker again will be in jeopardy. There is no announced candidate running against her, even though many Democrats who ran and elected this year promised they would not vote for her. But Marsha Fudge, who is an African-American Democrat from Cleveland, said she is considering it, but she has not come forward yet. So while for all the talk about all the dissatisfaction there is with Nancy Pelosi, and yes, she's 78 years old, and yes, she's been leading the Democrats in the House for 15 years, and yes, she was the leader during the debacles of 2010 and 2014, she did bring the Democrats back to the promised land, at least helped it a great deal in 2018 with this gigantic influx of new Democratic members, the most since Watergate. So there are arguments to be made for and against Nancy Pelosi. It's going on very furiously behind closed doors right now. If I were a betting person, and I am, I would say that she does become Speaker again, because it would be a terrible optic to say, well, you know, we in the year of the woman with all these great victories for the Democrats, we throw out Nancy Pelosi. But at the same time, there are a lot of progressives, a lot of young members who say, look, our leadership is old and stale, and we need new blood. So that's what the Democrats are fighting
about.
Well,
it was reported over the weekend there were already 17 votes against her.
That
number could be fluid, but the total number was 19. At least by this weekend, there wasn't much of a gap left.
Could I just say one thing, though? These 17 may vote against her in the leadership in the Democratic election in the next week or so. That doesn't mean these 17 will stay against her when it comes to the full vote on January 3rd. So don't be confused by that number. That number may shrink if Nancy Pelosi wins handily among the Democrats.
Okay, we just have a few seconds left. I'll add that California Congressman Adam Schiff has been going back and forth with the president. Just in 2 seconds, Ken, the president changed the consonant on Adam Schiff's last name from F's to T's. I think I can describe it that way. We'll let the rest
of it. He didn't call him Adam Schiff. He changed the F's to T's. And for all the argument, look, this was about the acting attorney general. Adam Schiff is not a fan of his. Trump went back by what I thought was a juvenile and an unfortunate tweet. And, you know, I even expected him to say, oh, I didn't mean it, or it was a typo, or it was a joke. But he stuck with it. And,
all right. Hey, Ken.
You know, you want to keep the...
I got to go.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Great.
You know what? The ship has hit the fan. I understand.
If there was any doubt about what word the president used, I think you just explained it. But when it's all said and done, what's settling out as the truth of these elections for you, Ken?
Well, you know, it was a very fascinating interview over the weekend with President Trump on Fox News with Chris Wallace. Basically, President Trump took great credit for the two-seat pickup the Republicans got in the Senate. And he said, what about the House blowout for the Democrats? The president said, well, I wasn't on the ballot. The truth is he was on the ballot. And one of the reasons the Democrats did so well among suburban women, among districts that were long Republican districts in Southern California, in Oklahoma City, in the Atlanta suburbs, in Houston, Texas, is because dissatisfaction with President Trump. Now, that's not true everywhere. As we said, you know, the Republicans did very well in Ohio. They knocked out senators in Indiana, Missouri, and North Dakota, and probably Florida. But at the same time, there were other places in the industrial Midwest, you know, the heartland, that even if they're voting Republican in other districts, even if they have a history of voting for Republicans in the past, this was just, you know, a referendum of sorts of President Trump. And at least in the House, it was a good day for the Democratic Party.
And so much unknown to come with all these new members of Congress coming in, all the new women, all the firsts, all the groups of people represented with a new and different voice on Capitol Hill like never before.
That's absolutely true. But at the same time, that could bring contention. And we don't know if that's going to happen. I don't want to be somebody who walks around.
I think it's a safe statement to say, though.
Well, because you do have somebody like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York, who's a self-proclaimed socialist who wants to move the party well to the left. You have Conor Lamb, who won a special election in Pennsylvania, who ran against Pelosi for guns and is pro-life. So there is no one voice for the Democratic Party, and Nancy Pelosi or whomever will be the speaker in the new Democratic-held House will have a tough battle to try to, you know, work these factions together. Didn't work great for John Boehner. It didn't work great for Paul Ryan. Let's see if the new Democratic speaker can make it happen for her or his party.
All right, Ken. Well, it is Thanksgiving week, so the best Thanksgiving togetherness and peace to you and your family. I hope you have a wonderful holiday.
Well, you made my birthday very special last week, which I really appreciate. And of course, that's enough for another conversation. But
yeah.
Same to you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
We were visiting in Washington, and we were able to share a little birthday celebration with you, Ken. So.
And things we can't say on the air.
I'm
just saying. Oh, that's right. It's your show. That's right. I keep forgetting whose show it is.
All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving, Ken. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Beth. Same to you.
And that's Inside for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Our producers are Jen Picard, Cody Drabble, and Bert Johnson. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Our executive producer is Joe Barr. We're back with another live show tomorrow, but it goes without saying as this week begins. Safe travels and a happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you.